The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The scribes who had come from Jerusalem said of Jesus, "He is possessed by Beelzebul, and by the prince of demons he drives out demons." Summoning them, he began to speak to them in parables. How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand. That is the end of him. No one can enter a strong man's house to plunder his property, unless he first ties up the strong man. Then he can plunder his house. Amen, I say to you, all sins and blasphemies that people utter will be forgiven them. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an everlasting sin. For they had said, "He has an unclean spirit." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
On this day on which we mark the 45th anniversary of Roe v. Wade and the slaughter of 58 million because of that decision that we know of since the Supreme Court uttered its diabolical fiat. The Word of God teaches us so much that we need to know with regard to how to approach this issue. First, the facts. The devil is involved in so many of these decisions, all of these decisions against life. The same devil that they were accusing Jesus of casting out by the devil's own power in the gospel. We see here in the gospel three essential lessons for our culture. The first is what Abraham Lincoln recognized over 150 years ago at the time of the Civil War, that a kingdom divided against itself, a house divided against itself, can't stand. The devil is the great divider, and he goes after our culture by attacking the family and by attacking life. Abortion is one of his greatest weapons. And we see how divided our culture is. The polarization comes fundamentally over life. There are certain people who think that the older, the stronger, the more connected should be able just to eliminate the lives of those who are so vulnerable, so small, so in need of our solidarity. And it divides our culture, and it weakens our nation, because as St. Mother Teresa said at Harvard, and so many others have commented, including Cardinal O'Connor, once we say that we can take another's life, no rights are firm. Second great lesson that we learn is about these sins against the Holy Spirit, this blasphemy against the Holy Spirit that cannot be forgiven. What are those sins? The Catechism in paragraph 1864 describes that the sin against the Holy Spirit is the one who doesn't open himself up to the Spirit's work, especially with regard to mercy. A sin that cannot be forgiven is a sin that won't be presented to God for forgiveness. And there are three ways it works. First, one doesn't think one has sinned. Or, two, one thinks, one knows that he or she has sinned, but refuses to go to God to be forgiven. Or three, one believes that one's sin is unforgivable, that God can never in his mercy reach that deep. Now in our culture we know that the sin of abortion can be forgiven. Sister, you have seen on the Hope and Healing retreats some of those tear-filled, happy faces of burdens removed. I can't describe to you what it's like on the other side of the screen. It's an extraordinary thing when the Holy Spirit, who has been sent among us for the forgiveness of sin, does his work in that way after decades sometimes. Those sins can be forgiven. But there's another type of sin. Sin of those who claim that this isn't a sin at all. Not something of which anybody should be ashamed, but it should be celebrated. That this is one of the greatest achievements of fundamental human rights in recent years. That this is for the full flourishing of woman according to her dignity, even as with the maternal meaning of her femininity. That's the sin for which we need to continue to pray, to bring people to see precisely what is going on so that there isn't that eternal death after one has participated in an earthly one. Vice President Pence loves to say, and I love the expression, life is winning in America. When I was younger, founding the pro-life club at Harvard, the battle we had was just to talk science. That what is growing in a womb is not an orangutan, not just potential life, but someone who was exactly like we were at that same stage of existence, because we had all those euphemisms we had to battle. That's history, at least at the level of the debates in public. Now it's just Nietzsche, raw power. We know that there's a human being growing in a mom's womb, but there's a segment of society that thinks somebody older, stronger, more powerful should be able to just end that human life. And that isolates the issue. It's an opportunity for people to be able to face straight on what abortion is. And you have been able to help so many, having seen that, to choose life, and so many others who didn't see it in time to receive mercy. But we have to continue to help our culture to recognize what exactly is happening for our culture as well as for the salvation of those in our culture. Because the devil always works in draw plays. He gets us to commit one sin and then a greater sin, but ultimately he wants us to commit this everlasting sin. In one way or the other, cut ourselves off from God's mercy. The third lesson of today's reading. It's about the work of Jesus and the work of all of those who are yoked to him by baptism and the sacraments. He was called Beelzebul. He was called the devil. He was called and thought of and accused of doing evil things by evil power. So those of us who are his followers will be calumniated by all, will be hated by so many on account of that name. We will be accused of being anti-woman. We should be ready for it. And we should be confident that we are the disciples of that stronger man who has bound the devil and is dividing his spoil. Today in the responsorial psalm, Jesus reminds us that his faithfulness and his mercy shall always be with us. So we've got nothing to be afraid, even if we have to persevere for the rest of our life in just saving one at a time. Saving one in the womb and the mom, but then saving one by one from that everlasting sin. The last point from today's readings I'll focus on is how key it is to have leaders who are uniters. Today's first reading, we see the elders of the Israelites come to King David to ask him to unite and to lead and to protect. And David, anointed by God, did so. His 28th generation grandson does so even more. So the Lord needs his warriors today. So let us ask that stronger man to equip his Jones of Arc.